It might be Chilly Sleeping.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and here we are again. This is fun. We have a cool subject tonight and crazy, crazy busy time. And apples, can I just say?
We were talking before the show. Stephanie's been picking up like bushels of them. Is that what you call them? Bushels of apples?
Bushels of apples, yeah.
To keep from getting like sued or something?
Well, so my brother... bought my mom and dad's house when my mom and dad passed away. And so he and his wife, Kathy, of course, have lived there for 15 years. But my mom's apple tree is still, wow, it's older than me. And he keeps threatening he's going to cut it down, right?
No, because, you can't
cut it down. That's what I say. And it's had some issues. So when I was a kid, there were two of them back there, you know, and one died out. So it's just this one left. And it's had some issues, you know, so big branches have been taken out and it's not very pretty anymore, but my gosh, the apples on that tree. And he and Kathy are in California. She's from California and they had some family issues. So they've been there 4 weeks and I think they'll probably be there another 3 weeks or so. And we're taking care of the place. Casey goes down there in the morning and then we both go in there in the afternoon. Because this tree has so many apples, and they're constantly falling, and they fall on there's a sidewalk next to it. But I want to get the good apples. You know, there's a lot because they've never been sprayed, so some of them do have worms. But the good ones are fabulous, sweet, juicy, delicious. Some of them are huge, some of them are small. But yeah, I've been baking. I didn't bake anything this week, but I've been giving them away. I gave some to. So my friend Dave was over this afternoon. I pawned some off on him, and we just have apples up the wazookie, can I say? And it's fun because they're so good. They're so good. And I'm just thinking, you cannot, you know, this tree is not ready. You know, I love trees. So I'm like, this tree is not ready to die. Chris, she's giving this bounty like you can't even imagine. I refuse to let you cut her down. I will go and stand in front of her, you know.
But do a little protest or something.
Yeah.
Well, unless the tree is really like struggling, you don't need to cut it down. I mean, there's things you do to keep it healthy, make it healthier, whatever. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. That's what I think too. And I think if he wants to trim it way back, that probably would be very beneficial for her, you know? And I know Dave.
Well, she hasn't been before or for a while. It's probably time anyway.
I think so. And Dave's had a good idea. He said, Steph, you should go offer some tobacco there. You know, I said, why didn't I think of that? And he said, I don't know, but you got to do that, you know, and you just got to, you know, do some prayers and stuff. And I'm like, I will, for sure.
As well as probably giving her a good old trim.
Yes, exactly.
That usually helps. Trees like it when it's done the right way. They appreciate, get all this stuff off that doesn't, that's just wasting energy. They can put the energy towards something else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if she goes for a couple of years without producing very many apples, that's okay too. Then Chris can get over it, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, and Karen in the chat room is saying that, you know, trees end too. They don't live forever. And I know that, but, you know, if you can give it a fighting chance, why not?
Yeah. That's what I think. And, you know, I know my sister said, well, she heard that they're kind of stressed when they put forth this much fruit. And I'm like, really? I mean, I guess I don't know anything about that, you know, but, you know, Chris said last year there were maybe 5 apples on the tree. So how does it go from 5 to hundreds?
Yeah, because my tree that I found in the yard this year doesn't have a lot of apples on it. And I could tell it was stressed. Their leaves were getting kind of funny partway through because I didn't, you know, I wasn't watering everything because I have a huge yard. And I just thought, well, a tree is going to have to deal, man, because I can't haul the hose everywhere. I got to water the new trees that I'm getting. And it was stressed out by the middle of the summer with all the heat, and it wasn't doing well. And I didn't have a lot of apples from it this year. So, or this year, like I know what it did before. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it just seemed like it was not producing like what I would have thought. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see. I'm going to trim some branches off of that.
Yeah.
Gem too.
Well, yeah. And they don't, Karen had a good thing. You know, she said they don't produce big bounties every year. And she's right. I mean, I remember when I was little, it was kind of like we had the two trees. And if one tree had a lot on, maybe the other one didn't. You know what I mean? So, but it was always an effort to get out there and get all these apples off the tree. And I remember my mom, a couple of years before she passed away, I think we were out there and she said, okay, everybody look down. We all had this blanket, right? And somebody was shaking it because that's, you know, the easiest way to do it. And what did she do? She looks up and then she gets hit right in the eye. She had this big shiner going on.
Whoops.
And and I know last night we did that and my sister was down there too. And right away I got hit on my arm and I wasn't even looking up and I got hit on my head. I thought I was going to pass out because one apple hit my head so hard.
Whoops.
But yeah.
Well, if anybody's going to get hurt by something like that, it's
gonna
be you.
Me. It's going to be me. Yep. I agree. So, but anyway, ancestral trees. Yes. That's what Chris, he said, let's save some seeds. And we have a piece of property. It's about, I don't know, 10, 15 acres down in Wisconsin on what we call the river bottoms. It's on the old galley. And it used to be my dad's favorite place. That's where he's from. And so he said, let's plant these. Let's plant some seeds on the side of the river where it's all sun. We used to have a big garden over there and stuff. So that's what we'll do. Maybe we'll make the Langer orchard. You know, that would be kind of
fun. Yeah, there you
go. Yeah.
So Rain in the chat room said he has wished he had an apple tree. I have a pear tree, but they're unedible pears. Hmm. Unedible. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, but good for feeding horses. So that's good. At least someone's enjoying them.
Yeah.
That's too bad you can't eat them. I'm curious. Are they maybe really sour or bitter? Or...
Oh, I've never heard of a pear
tree. Maybe it's kind of like the version of like crab apples. You don't really eat those.
Maybe.
But
maybe
animals will eat them. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know.
Totally not what we're going to talk about tonight. Actually, it's not too far what we're going to talk about tonight.
Right.
Although, who knows what we're going to be talking about next week, because we are both going to be off on adventures this weekend, and it's supposed to be kind of chilly, and we're going to be outside. Well, I'm camping still.
The easy way out, you know, only because, like I said, our camper girl, Carrie, she's just the camping queen, and she's the one that does everything, right? And yes, could we do it? Yes. But I would really rather just go and concentrate on what we're there for, you know, and not worry about everything else that goes with camping. So I kind of think we're just going to get our way out of it and just get a room at a fishing resort somewhere or something. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of them up there. So, and some of them have like just rooms, like hotels, you know, like a motel. So they're inexpensive. There's nothing fabulous about them. It's just a room to stay in, you know? So
yeah,
I think that's
exactly
what we might do, you know? So we'll see. But anyway, it's going to be cold up there. I mean, the low, I think on Friday night is like in the 30s. So it's going to be chilly up there.
Yeah. Well, when we're doing our paranormal camping weekend this weekend, which is totally different than other years because of the whole COVID thing.
Yes,
so totally. Yes. I had to restrict, you know, how many people, can't do the group breakfast on Saturday. You know, we can't do a lot of the group things, even the fires at night. We can't have the normal like bonfires. We have to split up into smaller groups so that we can stay 6 feet apart. I mean, and that's fine. At least we get to still do it.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be in the low 40s at night, which the first year that I did it, actually, it was about 31 overnight.
See, that's chilly.
It was okay. I mean, it was fine. I it wasn't fun, like totally fun. But actually, last year, one of the nights ended up being in the high 40s, which was unexpected. And Mojo, who usually I had not had him only a couple months, and he had was used to sleeping on the foot of my bed. And so I go camping and I had tucked him into my sleeping bag. But at some point he must have gotten out and went to the foot of my sleeping bag and he was sleeping. And I woke up in the middle of the night and it was terribly cold. And he's down there just on top of the sleeping bag shivering. I felt terrible. I'm like, what are you doing? But he was sleeping where he was supposed to sleep, you know, according to him and every other night of his existence with me so far. And I was like, oh, my God, get back in here. So I grabbed him and I stuffed him back into my sleeping bag so he could warm up. And then he was fine and he didn't get out the rest of the night when he realized it's okay to be in there. And I felt awful for him because he was so cold. It was chilly. Yeah. But I mean, if you have the right stuff, it's not bad. And then during the day is okay because you're moving around and stuff. But and they have fire, you can make a fire and all that stuff. But
yeah. Oh, for sure. And, you know, I do, like I said, it's fun to camp. Absolutely. You know, we all do our stuff, but Carrie's pretty regimented. You know, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Okay. I don't want to be the organizer. You know, I'm happy to do what you tell me to do and what you tell me to bring, but I don't want to do the organization. And Carrie said, I'll help you. I'll write the list. You can take the tent. You can take this. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that this time. So whatever. So I think we're probably going to get a room tomorrow. We'll decide for sure. But, yeah, and I think we're just going to go on the fly. So we'll just look for a place. Once we get there, we'll figure it out. I mean, COVID is everywhere, so nobody is, you know, really full. So I don't think it'll be an issue. It'll be fun. So, yes, we do have some crazy things happening this weekend. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week, actually.
Yeah, hopefully not too crazy. You know, I thought if it's nice enough, even if it's in the 60s and we have enough room, we can get the kayaks up there because we're on a lake. And so I thought I could do a little kayaking maybe. You know, I was actually, I told you about the kayaking adventure I had on Labor Day weekend and kayaking down in, you know, to Orono Lake. And I couldn't do it now if I wanted to. I can't even go to Orono Lake and kayak. There's no water. It's gone.
Where is it?
Yeah, lake, no water in it. River, no water in it. It's all like mud. You can see the whole thing. You can walk across it.
Well, it's been raining, right? I mean, it's not dry.
Apparently not enough. Or they've let a lot of water out of the dam because it's there's no water. I drove by it and I keep thinking, the first time I saw it, I'm like, did it freeze over? It hasn't been that cold because this is when it was really cold, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, is there ice on the river? That doesn't make sense. Why would there be ice this early and on the river? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then I kept driving over and it was like more ice, more ice, more ice. Well, I know it's not ice, but I'm like, what is it? And then I realized what I was smelling is mud, like that real earthy, thick smell. Mm-hmm. And I realized it was mud, that the river is like, it's not drying up. I'm sure it'll be fine, but it's kind of weird. So
Karen's asking, did they drain it? The lake?
Oh, maybe.
She said they've drained it before because she used to live up there, right? In that area.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. I haven't even looked at the news or anything. So, but it's just, it's like almost gone. I'm like, well,
interesting.
I guess I won't be doing any kayaking down there for a while.
You know, has anybody heard of how those kayaks that you blow up work? I've heard they work really fabulously well. I don't know.
Because I've seen a lot of them out there. I mean, and for a while, that's all that was available because kayaks were like selling like crazy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
So I would love to have a kayak.
Let us know.
Or a paddle board. I keep seeing people with paddle boards out on Silver Lake over here. And I'm like, wow, that looks like so much fun.
It looks like fun. But seriously, I debated paddleboard versus kayak.
Yeah.
And honestly, I want to sit down.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe you could sit down on a paddleboard, but there's no back rest, you know, so you're going to have to sit up.
Yeah.
And I want to chillax, right? If I want to stop paddling, I want to just be able to lay there. Like, I want to bring a book out and read and float or lay the backrest down and just float there and stare up at the sky. And I know you could do that on a paddleboard, but I don't want to stand up. Like, I stand up at my job like all day, so I don't want to stand up.
Yeah,
I work around the house. I'm standing up. I'm standing up doing everything. I would like to relax and lay down. And so I got one of those sit on top kayaks. Done. Great.
I do think I have seen people sitting down, like crouching down, like on their knees on those paddle boards. And I've seen, actually, when we were out on the island last time, when we were at the campground where we used to stay, there's a little cove there and there was some people coming in on paddle boards on the ocean. I'm like, are you people crazy? No. I wouldn't be doing that here. No. You know, kayaks are about it for out there, you know. But
yeah, and I've kayaked on the ocean too, and I got way too far out, and there was some big shadow thing under me, and I was like, no, I'm never doing this again on the ocean, like zero. I was terrified because I thought all this thing needs to do is just come up. And I'm done. Like, I don't care if it wants to eat me or not. All it has to do is come up and knock me off my kayak, and I'm going to freak out. So, no. And it was huge. It was like, I don't know how big it was. But
you know, because
it could have been a whale. It might have been a shark. I don't know.
There's so many times out on the island where I've seen, because kayaking is really popular out on the island. And, you know, there's kayakers out there, and then the whales show up. And so then the whales are like 6 feet away from these kayakers, you know? And I'm like, Casey, we got to go kayaking because I want those whales to, you know, come up 6 feet away from me. And she said, Mom, you'd be so excited. You'd be jumping around and we'd be flipping over. But the kayak people tell me it's really hard to flip kayak. So,
well, not if you're reaching and you can fall out of it. You may not flip it, but you could. Yeah. And if anyone's going to fall out, it's going to be you.
It's going to be me.
So don't even tempt me.
Orca saves crazy Minnesota woman. Yeah, I can just see it. Yeah, yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, Kat said better whales than sharks. Yeah, I don't know what it was underneath me. I'm guessing because I was out in, I was off of Dominican Republic. So wherever, whatever bodies of ocean around there are. But I would assume that they can have sharks out there and probably whales.
Sure.
I don't know, but it was huge, huge. And I looked up, it wasn't like, you know, sometimes whatever's above you, like airplanes, whatever, make a shadow on the water. Yeah. So I looked up, is it a cloud? No, it was clear blue sky, nothing in the air. So whatever was making that big, huge thing under me, it was down there. It was something slow moving and big. So it was either a whale. Yeah. I don't know how far out I was. I was too far out, though. I started to panic, and I thought, boy, I better have enough, like, stamina to get back. Because I was by myself. I went down there by myself.
Yeah.
So I, like, if I don't come back, no one's going to know until I maybe don't show up at work in, like, eight days.
Well, yeah, that would not be good. Yeah.
And by then, my body's long gone. So,
yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, all right, let's go away from that subject.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to talk about, which I think is an interesting subject. Now, I don't have one, and I've said, I guess I have to get one, but kitchen witches and kitchen magic, because as we said, we were tying the apple thing into this whole, we're in the kitchens more now because of the fall, and, you know, we want to make good food and baked food and all that kind of stuff. So kitchen witches are something that actually are kind of Norwegian, correct? Which I'm really shocked that my family didn't have these kitchen witches. And of course, now I should really ask my sister, because maybe somebody did have one and I just don't remember, you know, but my mom didn't have one for sure. You know,
if one family member has it, probably everybody did, because that's kind of how it was in my family. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a kitchen witch, and they're a sign of good luck. And I actually, let's see if I thought I typed something up here. So I had, because my grandma had one growing up, she's Norwegian or was Norwegian. And then we had one growing up in our house. And so I have one now. I posted it on the Gathering Facebook page. But there's a little poem I found to go with it. And then I have a little history on it. And then the reason I wanted to talk about it is because we're coming inside. It's fall. We're spending a little bit more time indoors, maybe doing more cooking. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about kitchen magic and house magic and stuff like that too. So I thought the kitchen witch was kind of a cool little thing. And I also would love, as we're kind of getting this underway here, hearing about any of your like house magic, or if you had a kitchen witch or anything similar, or some like good luck charm in your house that was maybe a family tradition, put it in the chat room. We'll read it out loud on the air here tonight on our show. Mm-hmm. So I have a little poem about the kitchen witch here.
Okay.
It says, I'm a Norwegian kitchen witch riding my broom. Love and affection I'll bring to this room. Pots boiling over are a thing of the past. With my kind of magic, good fortune will last. I'll keep burnt foods and bad coffee away. The good luck kitchen witch, I'm here to stay.
Oh,
so it's a good witch, right?
That's really cool. I think you should print that out or type it so it's a really cool print, and then font or whatever, and hang it on the wall next to the
witch. That's a good idea.
I think that would be awesome. Yeah.
I'll put it in a little frame. Okay, so here's a little history that I found on the kitchen witch. And again, this is off the internet, so, but it feels like something I remember hearing when I was a kid, so it could be sort of true. Anyway, the kitchen witches are said to be a Norwegian custom inherited from early settlers. A kitchen witch, sometimes called a cottage witch or a Scandinavian kitchen witch doll, is a puppet or homemade doll resembling a stereotypical witch or crone displayed in a residential kitchen as a good luck charm and to ward off bad spirits. There's some debate over what country exactly it came from, because some are also saying it was Germany, not Norway, but because it's, you know, and I think, I mean, my family's Norwegian, so it was in our house, so I'm not saying it was Norwegian, but we used them anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a good witch said to make the kitchen a spot of warmth and happiness. Gentle, whimsical, and loving, she created such magic that the mischief of the bad witch, who curdled milk and would not allow cakes or bread to rise, had no power. The kitchen witch is a good witch who inspires productivity and safety in a kitchen, but also counteracts any ill will directed to the home. So that those unfamiliar with the kitchen witch can understand its meaning, sometimes a note will be hung around the witch's neck stating something similar to what we, you know, read in earlier, this poem. Mm-hmm. So when you hang your kitchen witch, because typically they have a little thing to hang them so it looks like they're flying, because they're usually on a broom, legend indicates that cakes and breads will rise, rice, beans, and toast will not burn, pots never boil dry, and there will never be too much salt when baking, boiling, or stewing. The spices you mix will be perfect, as well as the tea and coffee you serve.
Wow.
Who couldn't use a little help with that, right?
Exactly. Man, I got to go out and get one right away. I mean, seriously, you know, that's cool. I mean, even if it doesn't do anything, it's always good to have, I mean, you know. We do what we do, right? We have all these things all over all the time. So I think I need to have one of those in my kitchen for sure, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And they're kind of cute little things. I mean, the ones that we had growing up, I think, actually, I remember she got kind of dusty and that looked kind of creepy, but, you know, because back then we didn't have air conditioning, right? So everything gets humid in the summer and everything sticks to everything. So in the summer, I'm sure that just like, it doesn't do well for things in houses, you know, when you don't have air conditioning. Yeah. But we had kitchen witch growing up, and she was supposed to bring good luck to your hearth and home. Mm-hmm. And Sherry is saying kitchen witch is like the kitchen god. Well, I don't know. What is the kitchen god? Like, I'm sure there's a bunch of them. So go ahead and elaborate, and we'll check in later.
Haven't heard about the kitchen god. No.
No. Mm-hmm. Or which one, I guess. There's probably a bunch of them. But yeah, if anybody has any, you know, like little trinkets or superstitions or traditions or whatever that they had in their kitchen, we'd love to, hear about it and we'll read it. Mm-hmm. But as we're coming inside more, you know, it's fall, at least here in Minnesota, we are, I don't know about other areas of the country, probably, maybe not, you know, if it's not getting as cool, but like you said, you know, the apples are you're harvesting apples, making all sorts of apple things. And there's a lot of food in harvest right now, and we try and can it or bake with it or preserve it or whatever. And so we're just probably in the kitchen more anyway. Mm-hmm. But here in Minnesota, we are for sure. And it's getting cooler out. So you might be just cooking more warm food instead of outside grilling or making salads or whatever. So I wanted to just give a brief overview of the kitchen, because I think it's interesting thinking about, and if you're a paranormal investigator and you go to historic buildings that are older, right? Older, well, I guess if they're older, they're probably historic, or no, historic, they're probably older. But if you are a paranormal investigator, I love to go places when I travel that are history and might be, you know, who knows if they're haunted or not. But some of these older homes, like we just were in, where were we? Savannah in the last fall. We went in November. And some of these homes in Savannah are monstrous. They're huge. And they have these huge kitchens, like really big kitchens. And the kitchens are usually down in the basement. And which is kind of interesting, because sometimes a lot of paranormal activity happens in the basement, and you have these big stone, you know, floors, or sometimes dirt floors, but these big, you know, stone walls, these big hearths that have these big fire, you know, big fire boiling pots or whatever. So anyway, it's interesting to hear the history of a kitchen, And so I just wanted to read it quick here before the break. Kitchen hasn't always been a separate room in the house. Originally, it was nothing more than a cooking fire brought indoors, especially when the weather was not good, depending on where you lived. As the kitchen brought indoors while other shelter-based activities carried on around it, as the kitchen evolved into a specialized area, it became its own room with a separate area for storage of food, equipment, and activity. The room became further separated into hot kitchens and cold kitchens, where space permitted. The hot kitchen contained the fireplace and hearth for roasting meats and making hot foods, and the cold kitchen a place of lower temperature where foods such as pastries, jellies, and dairies were kept or prepared. Older kitchens were larger than the ones we use today as they encompassed a wide variety of pursuits. Apart from cooking, activities such as eating, washing laundry, taking baths, candle making, spinning and weaving, sewing, food preserving in all forms, nursing the sick, child care, lessons, and countless other pursuits all took place in the kitchen in an average home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of stuff. And I would imagine because you have the fireplace there, and if it was cold, you want to stay warm.
Yeah.
So you want to be in the kitchen because it's probably the warmer of the places in your house and maybe has the most light because of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got more technology, you know, it was one of those things that we wanted to get people out of the kitchen. So we create all these, you know, pieces of equipment that allow us to get out of the kitchen quick. And so the kitchens actually got really small because we didn't want to spend time in the kitchen because we had all these other rooms now that we could do other things.
Right.
All those things that we used to do in the kitchen. So kitchens got really small. Now we've seen a shift again that kitchens are starting to get bigger. We're starting to create like great rooms where we gather in the kitchen again and do more activities that are centered around the kitchen. So we're kind of coming full circle again. I just thought it was interesting, a little kitchen history there.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, don't you find that people are always drawn to the kitchen anyway, whether it's small or big or whatever? I mean,
well, if gatherings, like when people gather together, you just, I don't care if the kitchen
everybody
is the size
the
of a postage stamp, everybody's in it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even,
and you're tripping over each other and you don't care.
Well,
it's like, who cares? Let's do it. Let's all go pile in the kitchen.
Well, exactly. But even like at my mom's, you know, we always sat in the kitchen and did everything, right? So we did, you know, we played cards, we chatted, you know, after I moved away, you know, then of course, every time I was back, we very rarely sat in the living room. It was always in the kitchen, you know, and I don't know. I guess we still do that. Well, we spend a lot of time in my kitchen. But yeah, so now there's a thing in kitchens. Everybody wants the ginormous kitchens with the ginormous islands and the attached to family rooms and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. I would say that our kitchen now is, we probably spend an equal time either the kitchen, it's a kitchen dining room, it's pretty big, or the living room. I think we, you know, it's equal. Before it was probably the living room, and now that we have a bigger kitchen with a peninsula and we can hang out and the dining table's there and everything, it's nice and we have a big fireplace in there. So it's, I like it for the fact that we can kind of gather there and feel, it feels comfortable.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, my house has that, we have a peninsula kind of thing too. So the dining room is visible. It's all open, really. But, and then we have a kitchen table and a dining room table. So yeah, we spend a lot of time in the kitchen, actually. Too much, maybe. But that is what it is.
Not if there's food. There's never too much.
I know, right? There's always a snack close by and whatever. So yeah, food equals love. I agree, Karen. Food.
Yeah. Karen also said, I believe the Penn Dutch were or are superstitious about witches that put hexes on milk, making it curdle, etc. Well, that's what this kitchen witch said, that she helps banish the witches that do that.
Yeah. So that everything, you know, milk doesn't curdle and there's
things
need
a
aren't
good
too
kitchen
salty.
Witch.
And yeah, I love it. I love it.
Right?
It's cool. And, you know, back in the old days, I don't know, did you mention this too? Maybe I didn't hear it, but like way back in the day, you know, like in the 1800s, the kitchens weren't even a part of the house. Did we talk about that? And they were like a whole separate building.
Yeah, they when they had their hot kitchen and cold kitchen, sometimes they were in different areas depending on where the house was situated. Sometimes the cold kitchen would be built into the, you know, side of a hill or something, and then the hot kitchen would be somewhere else for a couple of reasons. As long as there was a fireplace in the main house, you can have a hot kitchen so you're not always heating up the house in the summertime.
True.
If you're heating food, you're cooking food and stuff. But
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's the kitchen. And so one of the things, too, that I don't know if people do this in their kitchens is have any kind of an altar or shrine. If the kitchen is the heart of the home, mm-hmm. or the hearth of the home, because a lot of kitchens had fireplaces, mine still does, which is mm-hmm. I love. Mm-hmm. I actually have an altar on the mantle right above where my kitchen witch is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen side of, because of the fireplace is double-sided, so it goes into the living room. Mm-hmm. But on the side with the kitchen, I have a little area on the mantle that I have started. I created a kind of an altar for mm-hmm. meaningful items and offerings
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for goodness.
I love it. That's cool. Yeah. All right. So we've already gone through half of the hour. So
okay.
We will break here for 2 minutes. So stay with us. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. We're talking about kitchen witches and kitchen folklore and kitchen magic and all sorts of fun stuff as we're moving into the fall season here. Mm-hmm. And we've had some fun sharing here in the chat room. I don't think I can make a pizza in my fireplace. Someone asked me if I could mm-hmm. in my kitchen. I don't think it would get hot enough, and thankfully I hope it never gets that hot because that would probably be really bad for my house. So stick with pizzas in the oven, or actually I make them on the grill and it's delicious. So if you've never grilled a frozen pizza, try it. It's fantastic. Anyway, I have some kitchen folklore stuff. I'd love to share it with folks. Some of you might do these things without thinking about it. You might not know about these things. Let's see where we go here, folks.
Yeah.
And we've got some kitchen folklore. Did you know that you should stir the contents of pots and bowls clockwise to attract positive energy, or stir counterclockwise to banish things?
Oh.
Use one or the other according to the needs of your home or family at that time.
Well,
something to think about. You know, if you're not thinking about it and you're sitting there stirring counterclockwise,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you realize
right?
stuff is leaving that you don't want to leave, maybe think about it.
I was just thinking, how do I think I usually do counterclockwise. Okay, well, I'm going to have to change that.
Depending, because some things you want to go, and then you would want to do that. And some things you want to call in, then you would want to stir clockwise.
Yeah.
Okay. You should pass items at the table in a clockwise direction mm-hmm. to maintain harmonious energy.
Mm-hmm. That I know.
If you wish to clear the house of negative energy, clean it beginning at the back door, travel through it room by room in a counterclockwise direction until you reach the back door again, and then sweep or mop out the door and off the doorstep. Interesting. That means you have to go through the whole house and back. I don't want to clean that much. No offense. No offense to whoever created that one, but no.
I mean, I'm lucky if I get one room cleaned in one day. You know,
I know. You're like, supposed I just to counterclockwise through the whole house. Like, how long do you have to clean? Like, I don't know. I mean, my house isn't huge, but
I just washed my kitchen floor today, and I felt so good. I just think, you know what? Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's too much work for me.
All at once, for sure. Maybe if you can do it in stages, that might work. I don't know. They don't say that, though. So here's one. To attract positive energy, clean items in a clockwise motion. This includes dusting, mopping, and scrubbing, as well as wiping counters and washing dishes. Use clockwise motions to clean. You should draw a spiritual symbol that has meaning to you, either cultural, religious, or designed by you, with salt water on the windows of your house and on the front and back doors. Paint these symbols with clear nail polish if you want something a little bit more permanent. I don't think I would do that.
Yeah, I know.
I would draw them with water. I wouldn't draw them with salt water. And I've done that before, too. I won't use salt water. Because you don't know what salt is going to do to stuff.
Yeah.
And nail polish. What the heck, person?
Well, yeah, I know.
I'm not going to say who, but geez, Louise. All right. If you wish to further connect your cooking to your spiritual hearth, draw a spiritual symbol on the inside of the pot or bowl before you use it. A stylized flame is a good basic image to use.
A stylized flame?
Like draw a flame.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Empower your laundry detergent for purification of any negative energy clinging to clothes. Water has a natural purification effect, but empowering the cleaning substance you use boosts the natural effect. Do the same for your household cleaners.
Say that again. What are we supposed to do with that?
Empower them for purification of energy.
Oh.
So as they're cleaning physically, you can empower them, maybe do a little...
A little
anointing or something of them, and empower them to clear spiritual energy as well.
That's interesting.
Right? Running out of salt is said to be bad luck for the prosperity of a home. Keep a small packet of salt somewhere to ensure that there will always be salt in the house. Mm-hmm. So don't just keep it in the salt container, because if that's where you run out, you have no salt and it's supposed to be bad luck. So put it another container of it somewhere else that you probably won't use. And did you know that if you put grains of rice in your salt, it won't stick together?
Yeah.
That's helpful.
I did know that one.
Let's see here. I've got one more, possibly more, but I'm going to stop with this because we've got a couple more, and then we'll go to the chat room here because we've got some stuff in there.
Yeah.
Hanging braids or wreaths of garlic, onions, or hot peppers will keep your kitchen free of negative energy. And then you compost them every fall and hang new ones. But don't eat the ones that you hung up to clear negative energy.
Sure.
Because what the heck would you be doing that for?
Well, yeah, you got to get rid of those. Yeah.
You don't eat the stuff that's just been sucking up the negative energy in your house.
No, we don't want that.
No. If you hang bunches of dried Indian corn, it attracts prosperity and abundance.
Oh. Is that why we do that in the fall? I mean, I just wondered. I don't...
I guess so.
I thought it was just pretty, you know, but so there's something to it. So
I guess so. Now let's try it.
Yeah.
Last one, leave an onion or clove of garlic outside below the kitchen window to absorb any negative energy trying to enter the home. You may leave them around doors to the house as well. Place new ones there every month or more frequently if the old ones decay faster. And it'll keep out vampires, right?
Well,
garlic
for sure.
I don't know. I'm making that up. That's just myth and folklore and movie stuff. But maybe, you know, I ordered garlic. I'm going to plant it.
Yeah,
it's coming. They have to. I think you have to plant it in the fall.
Like a bulb,
you break it open and plant it, and then put stuff like 6 inches of stuff over it in this climate, so it makes it till spring.
Sure.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
because I might, you know, have to ward off vampires someday, and I want to have lots of garlic, so I'm gonna do it.
Well, you just never know. who's going to come after us. You know, right? We know there's vampires. We have Michael Bodine, who's seen them and talks about them on our show.
I've seen them.
I know you do too. Yeah. I believe they're out there. I do. I have never seen one, but I think they're there.
I believe I've seen one. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago, but it was cool. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about something next, but I want to get to a few things in the chat room here before we lose track of them. Let's see here. Let me scroll back. I'm seeing this one here from Rain. Only family tradition we had was every New Year we got a new dime and cooked it with the cabbage.
Ugh,
a new
dime? That's just gross. No, I wouldn't do that.
Wait, so, what? Like a piece of money?
And with the cabbage, and then they ate the cabbage. And he said he's personally not a, you know, a fan. But what did it? Do you think it made good luck, or it brought you good luck to do that?
I think it's fascinating. Maybe they cleaned it first. I mean, I can't imagine you just drop one from your pocket.
I would hope so, but still gross. What are dimes made out of? Are they silver? They're not silver anymore, right?
No, I don't think so. But they're, dropped it in the cabbage and cooked it and then ate the cabbage. And so I would assume it's some kind of prosperity charm or, spell or something, but curious.
Yeah. It's very...
Oh, yeah. The money, it was for good luck in the new year. So you do it at the new year.
On New Year's Eve.
It wasn't just like every time you made cooked cabbage, which I wouldn't do that very often anyway. Stink fest. I love cooked cabbage, but I don't like making it. It's just...
Well, it stinks. The whole house stinks when you make cabbage. You know what I mean? But
Well, that's interesting, though, for the...
Karen is saying silver is good for you in small amounts. So maybe some of it got in the cabbage and then, like a mineral or something, and then you got it in your body. I don't know. I wouldn't do that, but, in small
amounts.
Don't
want a piece of money in the, and then, well, okay. I think it's cool. I mean, love that it's a little tradition. That's the part that I think is so neat, is it sounds super like witchy. Mm-hmm. And mystical and spelling, spell casting kind of stuff, and they did it every year at the new year. I think that's super cool.
So but how do you know where do you go to get a brand new dime? I guess if you went to a bank, would they have brand new dimes?
I think you can order stuff like that from Tim collects some coins. He doesn't have a lot, but he collects them, and you can order stuff like that. I don't know if you'd get it directly from a mint or a company. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just guessing. And maybe banks have it, but Rain said, I say trade the cabbage for a shot of Goldschlager with gold flakes. Well, there you go. Whatever works for you. Do that at the new year instead.
Yep. Absolutely.
Instead of a dime in cabbage, how about gold flakes in Goldschlager?
Yeah, we like that.
I like how you think.
I do too.
I like how you think.
I do too.
That's time for new traditions, isn't it, Rain? Time for new ones.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you were talking about altars near the kitchen. You know, when I was doing a little bit of research on this, they said that you should have a kitchen altar. And you should have a small altar with items that can be moved in as needed. You know, like a statue of a home or a hearth goddess, and a cauldron or a candle, and then paint a trivet with symbols of your tradition, you know, and just kind of switch them on out and stuff. That's a kind of a cool idea too, you know? And you were saying you have the altar on the fireplace.
Yep. It's on the mantle above where my kitchen witch sits. She sits down on the bottom part, which whatever that part is called that kicks out from the fire.
Yeah.
So if anything pops out, it doesn't like go on the floor.
Right.
So is it the hearth? I don't know. Anyway.
Hearth, yeah.
So she sits down there, and then the mantle up on top is where I have some personal items that I have collected. One of them is an angel that I've had since I was a really little kid that my dad gave me. It's a little figurine, and she's broken so many different times. And it was funny because in this last move here, she broke again. Her head came off this time, which I thought, we're crying out loud. Her wings have popped off. She's broken at the waist. Her halo broke off. I mean, every dang piece of this little thing is broken. And however, she gets put back together and you can't even tell. And her head broke off. And so it was sitting there because I wanted her to put her up on the altar, and I came by, and then boom, there, her head's back on. And I was like, what? And Tim's like, I saw her head sitting there. And so I fixed it. And I was like, oh, thanks. Cause I feel bad for her little head there. And I kept forgetting to fix her, and he did it. And that was so sweet. And she's been around forever, but she reminds me of my dad, cause my dad passed away 25 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And so she reminds me of him, and it's a little angel for like the house. And
sure.
You know, and then I have some other little things, and I always have a little bottle of alcohol that's cracked. It's open. It's been opened. But it's not sitting open because I don't want to dump, you know, if something knocks it. I mean, the angel, the head fell off. I don't want the alcohol to knock over and go everywhere. But so it's been opened, and then I put the bottle back up there, and then I'll switch it out at some point. You know, it's a little offering for the house spirits to, you know, hey, cheers.
Have a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. The good ones, not, I don't want the other ones to hang out. The good ones get a little shot of something. The bad ones get booted.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that works. Not hanging out with the bad ones.
Yeah, no, I like that. What kind of alcohol?
I don't know what I have up there right now. It might be whiskey.
Okay. Just wondering.
I like whiskey. Whiskey's nice.
Yeah. Well, I like bourbon.
You know, bourbon's good.
I do like whiskey. I love tequila. But so, you know.
No, you like Fireball. That's what you like.
I do like Fireball. I do like Fireball. And, you know, I just got to say, so at Cub.
Good season for it right now, fall.
At Cub Foods, they have, you know, they have these hand sanitizer stations everywhere now with all the COVID. And their hand sanitizer smells just like tequila.
Yeah, that's not good. Because then you're going to put it on your hands and then you're going to go drive. And what if you get pulled over like that? How are you going to explain that? No, like officer, it's my hand sanitizer.
It's my hand sanitizer.
Sure, miss. Can you step out of the car?
Oh, my gosh. Jack Daniel's Silver Label is my drink of choice. Yeah, I like Jack Daniel's, too.
We're totally off track now. We've derailed.
I like Jack Daniel's, too. Jack and ginger is delicious, I got to say.
So one of the things, I'm going to bring it back here. With the kitchen, did you know that the kitchen is one of the few rooms in the house that has all four elements represented? Well, it might be the only one, actually.
Sure.
depends on the room. But you've got earth, water, fire, and air. Mm-hmm. So if you think of the different like elements, you've got earth is usually like stoneware, which might be represented in your dinnerware, depending on what kind of dinnerware you have. Mm-hmm. You've got air, which is usually swords. You know, if you're looking at knives in your kitchen, would be a little version of that. Unless you actually have swords in your kitchen, which I'm not coming to your house.
No.
And then you've got, I lost track. Oh, yeah, water, you know, the cups symbol of water, which you probably have a sink in your kitchen.
Yes.
And then fire, the wands, is probably your stove, if you have some kind of fire element there, like a gas or whatever. But I do also burn a candle in my kitchen, too, for the fire element. Because, you know, can create fire, of course, for sure. But I like, candle burning. So I had one going actually yesterday as well.
I do, too. And now that it's getting cooler outside, I have that candle going all the time in the kitchen right next to the. Yep. And they smell wonderful.
Karen said, how about a compost bin? Yes, that could definitely be an earthy earth element. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of getting mine set up. I got to get mine going.
The compost bin?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So all kinds of stuff we never thought about. But you're right. So the kitchen does have the four elements. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And then, of course, the things you bring in, like Kat is saying, earth would be like food, like veggies and whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But just without anything in your house, your kitchen already represents, well, four elements. Yeah. I guess if we're talking about like plates or whatever. But I also have, like, your kitchen's made of wood, your kitchen's made of stone, whatever. So that would be also an earth element. So you have like all sorts of ways that the elements are represented in your kitchen. Which, again, if you know, we're thinking about kitchen magic, there's so many ways that you can create kitchen magic with the elements that are already probably at your disposal in the kitchen. So I look at the, in the tarot deck, the magician, and he has all the different elements, you know, represented. He's got the pentacles, which is earth, and the swords, which is, you know, air, and the wands, which is fire, and the cups, which is water. And he's got them usually all in front of him or near him on some kind of altar. And it really looks like, you know, it's kind of like someone in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's not exactly the meaning of it, but it does have that energy to it that you're kind of your own little magician in the kitchen where you have all these elements at your disposal and you really can do some cool things just in like your cooking, your food prep. You know, if you want to create some kind of like teas or herb potions, or even like back in the day, they used to make all their soaps and their medicines and things in the kitchen. And we can still do a lot of that today. Yeah. And some people actually do. So you have all of your elements at your disposal to do a lot of your kitchen magic.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
You can, yeah.
In the fall, as we all become our little kitchen witches.
I know. I love it. And when you think about it, we do a lot in our kitchen. I mean, when I used to color Casey's hair, we'd color it in the kitchen and then we'd wash it out in the kitchen sink. So that's kind of another magical thing that goes on in there. You know, it's changing your hair color and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, cool. I love it. Yeah, so Rain is saying earth, metal, fire, water, air, food made from the heart, spirit. So yes. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very magical. Like there, I mean, any room in the house can be magical, and you can have an altar in any room or a shrine or whatever in any room, but the kitchen is really just, it is the heart of the home, I still think. Not everybody would say that the heart of the home is in the kitchen, but I think so.
I think it is too. Yeah. Like I said, it's, you know, where you play cards and, you know, you just do all kinds of stuff in there too. Lots of happiness happens in there, sometimes heartbreak, but yeah, it's just conversations around the table, conversations at the counter, conversations by the refrigerator. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that happens in the kitchen, you know?
Yep.
So
exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of even just like having a cup of tea or something, if you're, you know, in your kitchen and you're trying to invoke some kind of energy or release something, you know, the type of tea that you brew in the kitchen can be medicinal. It can be healing. Mm-hmm. It can be energizing. And, you know, that's all a little bit of like kitchen medicine, kitchen magic.
Yeah.
And so that's all, you know, kind of what we can be thinking about right now and just being mindful too. The kitchen is a really good place for learning or practicing mindfulness. You know, we're so caught up in multitasking.
Yeah,
you know, I remember giving that as one of my top characteristics when I was applying for jobs back in the day. It's like, what is one of your top characteristics? Oh, I am a multitasker.
Right.
I can do so many things at once.
I know.
That's horrible. Like, I mean, I get why we would need to say that or why it's sometimes helpful. But for the most part, I don't want to be a multitasker anymore. I want to be very mindful of whatever it is I'm working on. I want to work on one thing and do it well. And I'm not going to be pokey about it. Sometimes I can do something really quick, but
for sure,
I want to focus on one thing because I find, maybe it's just as I'm getting older, but as I focus on a lot of things, I kind of screw things up. You know, I don't actually think I'm a very good multitasker, even though I said I was. I don't think I am. I think I'm much more I can't talk right now. That's not multitasking. But I don't think I'm, I think I do better when I can focus on one thing. And it is a practice of mindfulness where you can just look at this one item. You're cooking this one thing. You're putting your energy into it. And one of the things that I always do when I cook, especially when I'm cooking for someone else, I mean, I do this for myself too, is I think about what kind of energy I'm in, where I'm at emotionally when I'm making whatever it is that I'm making, because I know that whatever it is that I'm cooking or preparing, my energy is going into that food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't care if I'm making something from a box or reheating something, I know that my energy is a part of this food that will be eaten by someone. And that's really important to me to make sure that I am in a good place energetically. And I do that with all of the things that I make for the studio too. If I'm making my different dolls that I have or my eye pillows or whatever, anything that I'm making, if I'm not in a good place energetically to continue, I will stop. I will not continue because I do not want energy that's not good to be in something that I'm creating.
Yeah.
And so I'm very, very mindful of that. And but food for sure, because someone is actually consuming the energy that you're putting into that food. So if you're in a bad mood or you're mad about something or sad about something, you're putting that energy into that food that someone's going to be eating. That's why you should always clear your food, like when you go to a restaurant. Because you never know like what temperament someone's in the back. And so just saying a little prayer to help clear your food or
you
never know. And think about all the times that maybe you had a really upset stomach and it wasn't necessarily the food was bad, you just didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Or you came out of somewhere and you thought maybe because it was busy or crabby, maybe it was, you know, whoever was cooking in the back was crabby and transferred that energy to you that you ate. So, yeah. So it's something to think about. And Karen said, isn't that what prayers are for? Well, if you do, like, not everybody prays before they eat, especially if they go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very common, I don't think, but it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's a good idea.
It's a huge transfer of energy right there is through food that's being prepared. So
blessing the food. Well, yeah, if you bless the food, it's kind of the same thing. You're clearing it.
Well, yeah, but I don't think a lot of people do that either.
No. Mm-mm. So we need to get back into that. I think that's a really good reason to do that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, that's, you know, and I think though, sometimes though, I think intuitively, you just know if you shouldn't be making dinner, you know, if you're feeling sad or worked up or whatever and say, I'm just not making dinner, make something for yourself.
But then if you're not making it, clear it before you eat it. If someone else is, if you go and get something, because you never, again, you never know what kind of mood they're in.
Yes,
you don't eat because you're not in the right mood to, or you don't cook because you're not in the right mood for it.
Right.
So you make someone else do it. They're not in the right mood to be at work either.
Same thing. Oh,
so
yeah.
You get out of the work, but you still clear your food.
Never thought about that. You see, we always learn good stuff on this show, don't we? So, yeah, I like it. I like it. This has been a good show, and we've had a lot of good comments again.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff in the chat room.
No such thing as multitasking, Karen said. I agree, but you know, the older I get, the more it's like I start something and then my mind jumps ahead and I never finish what I start. So then I go and do something else. It drives me insane. And the older I get, the more that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix that, but you know.
I don't think it's fixable. I think you be more mindful. Just focus on one thing at a time, do it, move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting at the end of the show.
I know. Boom. Already. Wow. Man. Gosh. These shows just go by way too fast. Can I just say?
Yeah.
Goodness. So
fun,
for sure. So next week we'll have all this stuff going on that we're going to talk about after this weekend. And we got some good shows coming up too in October, as we've said. We just don't have specific dates yet. So we're scheduling out October and we'll be able
to. Well, except for our Halloween show.
Yep.
Last Tuesday in October, we'll have our three former co-hosts, our third musketeer.
Our real witch, Kristen.
Yes.
Yeah, we can all be witches that night. I think we should wear hats.
We've done that before. It'll
yes,
be fun.
We have.
We'll be together at the studio, 6 feet apart.
Absolutely. And so we'll take pictures and we'll put them right here in the chat and on our Facebook page. And I think it'll be super fun. The girls are back together.
Yep. So that's a for sure thing.
Yeah. So that'll be really fun. But yeah, we have some really good shows coming up and we're doing so much. We're just in the middle of doing so many things that it's fun to talk about on here too, you know? So awesome sauce. Awesome sauce. See, we're talking cooking. We're talking kitchen stuff. So this is awesome
totally
sauce.
Hide that in stuff. Way to go.
See my
nice save.
I know. You know, I can BS with the best of them. Can I just say?
Yep. Sure can.
All right. Well, listen. We got a couple minutes left. So, is there anything else shaken?
I'm looking at the conference room. I don't know what I'm talking about. I must be more out of it than I realize because I've been saying some weird things here.
Wow.
Poor grammar, whatnot. That's just how I'm going to be tonight, I guess. And I don't know. I think we caught up with most of it. There's a little bit of chitter chatter in the chat room that we didn't grab. But for the most part, I think we got all of it.
We did, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll just plug our sibling show. Don't forget to listen to the calling
tomorrow.
7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Not sure what they're having on. But they plug us too. So, you know, that we started out with them. So we also got to do that.
Listen to the calling tomorrow night.
Yep. And hey, listen, thanks everyone for joining us and the troops. If you're there, thank you for your service.
Absolutely. And thank you to everybody in the chat room and listening wherever you are on the planet. We so appreciate you. And Para X, thank you so much for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer ever on the planet. Thank you. And everybody, I just want to say, anybody out dealing with the fires out in the West right now, our prayers are with you. God bless you all, and we just want you all to be safe and healthy, and we want this. We're just sending your prayers, so we want you to know that. So
absolutely.
Just take care.
Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Have a good week.